Good morning, fellow Ghost Wolves. This is Insurgent Radio Network, Insurgent Radio Network, Insurgent Radio Network, in the heartland, in the bunker, right here in north central Indiana. Yeah. And it is May the 29th. This one's almost over. May the 29th, 2009, it's Freya's Day, Ladies' Day here at the bunker. All you guys, make sure you take your ladies out, you know, buy her a present, buy her some flowers, take her out to dinner, take her dancing, take her mountain climbing or deep sea diving, whatever turns her crank, baby. This is Friday, yeah. Well, this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, and our address is P.O. Box 401. Warsaw, WARSAW, Indiana, 46581. Address your mail to Tom Metzger, or occupant, or box holder, or insurgent. Yeah, and whichever way you makes you feel good. And you can send your dues payments and orders that you go to merchandise, resist, at yahoo.com. We've changed that. We're not going to use merchandise at resist.com anymore. It's going to be merchandise resist at yahoo.com. Yeah, send your you could send a duplicate order to that address, or you could send an email. Yeah, and then but send the hardcore stuff in an envelope, cash, check, or money order. You can make that to Tom Metzger, or cash. Yeah, and you can send foreign currency. Yeah, we get that now and then, and we can take care of it. Now, for those who ask, we cannot take payment by PayPal. PayPal is so Jewish manipulated that anytime we get on there to accept cash, some little stinky Jew calls up and raises hell with them, and so we can't do it. So anyhow, it's interesting. I can buy things through PayPal. They don't argue about that. But I can't take cash, or I can't take payment through PayPal. But if you're overseas, if you're in Europe or Australia or South Africa or any place like that and want to order something, just put it in one of these envelopes. I think most post offices around the world may have them. Yeah, use priority mail. At least here in the United States, you can purchase priority mail. I think it's about $5 and 3 or 4 pounds you can put in one of those flexible nylon envelopes. And if you want to send cash secure, that's one of the best ways. Use a priority envelope and just stuff your cash in there and send it in, and we'll get it. We've never lost anything yet. Also, let me remind you that we do not send our news and views bi-weekly report out to each individual directly like we did. We had long lists of people we sent it out to. Now you must go take a little initiative and go up to resist.com and go to news and views, and we usually send this news and views out on Sunday or Wednesday. So anyhow, the new ones will be up there every week, so you go on up there and get them. So whenever I get a new so-called recruit that wants to sign up and get the news and views, well, I just simply send them that information, and they're off and running. That way they don't have to be on a big long list that may be compromised. I've been encouraged by DC Wolf to download pgp.com, which is an encryption program which he says is very, very good. So I'm going to do it. And I've been delaying it, but I'm going to do it, and I'd recommend it for everyone else. PGP, that's PaulGolfPaul.com. Well, I see Kippy Law's got them all upset again over there in North Korea. He reminds me of one of these guys, little dolls you put on your dash, and his head wiggles back and forth. But anyhow, he's lit off another firecracker, sent another little missile out there, and got all their pants twisted, and the United States got all the other countries twisted. But what really is revealed is when the Jewish, what is it, one of the Jew groups comes out on the radio this morning, American Jewish Committee, and at the end of their, oh, this is horrible, North Korea, well, they say, well, North Korea is selling arms to Syria and maybe Iran and around the Middle East, so it's always strictly pro-Jew. What's good for Jew is supposed to be good for the U.S. Well, it's not good for the U.S. to get in another damn Asian war like MacArthur and all of them warned us many times before. Never get into a land war in Asia. And we did a couple of times, and it didn't turn out too well. So, but anyhow, Cupid doll tickles me. I hope he twists their tail some more. I see the Southern Millionaires Law Center is stepping up their intelligence reports. They're all over the Google this morning, so they're really getting excited about some of the activity going around the country, and I hope they're prepared to work 24 hours a day, because that activity is going to increase exponentially, especially among ghost wolves. You know, Guerrilla Radio Man started using this ghost wolf idea. I like it better than lone wolf, so let's use ghost wolf. You don't have to, but I think it sounds cooler, and it implies something a little more heavy. Yeah, that ghost wolves are not only national, but they're international. Ghost Wolf Radio Man and I did a radio show the other day, and it might have been sort of a downer to some of you, but I was just simply saying how worthless most of the right wing is, if not all of it, and how few real so-called revolutionaries are around, or people are even thinking about being revolutionaries. Some of you thought that was pretty much of a downer position to take, but it's the truth. It's the truth. But this doesn't mean that we don't have very, very good people out there that are prepared for the worst or the best. It depends on how you look at it. So don't get excited. It's the quality of the ghost wolf that's important, not the quantity. Well, I see by the morning's news they're bragging about the 5% now of the non-white population is of race-mixed unions. In other words, multicultural, multiracial. And, of course, that is the worst weapon there is against our race. That's where all your gene hijacking goes on. A black person, a black, true black, may be a problem as far as crime and things like that, but if they do not race mix, then it's a smaller problem. But with Obama becoming the Kenyan president of the United States, and guys like Tiger Woods marrying a hot Swedish babe, this is like giving the green light to the white trash and others to mix. I mean, let's face it, movie stars and people and sports figures do cause and promote and effectively work as an agent to whatever they want. I mean, if we had them working to keep the races separate, people would be more inclined to stay separate. But you give them a big movie star or give them a big sports figure, or give them a politician, powerful politician, and they're going to go that way. A hell of a lot of people are. And so that's just monkey see, monkey do. And in a racial situation, monkey's not too far from the mark. I see some of these race-mixed couples going down the street with a little half-nigglet in the carriage. And, you know, you got to be honest, many of them look like little monkeys. They sure do. Yep. I'm going to try to remember to include pictures, a couple of pictures of our latest Race and Reason shooting that we did in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And remember now, we have Race and Reason shows in Hamilton, New Jersey on Channel 23 at 5:30 p.m. But I didn't get the day, and it may be every day, but I doubt it. Anyhow, the company there is just called Cablevision. And in Fort Wayne, Indiana, we're on Comcast Cable, Channel 57, 4:30 on Monday afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. And we're on Syracuse, New York. We've been on there a long, long time, Channel 98. And we're on there at 10:30 p.m. And we're on up in Yonkers, New York, too. I don't have that channel here. I'll get it. And then that's about it, I believe, for now. We need more of the shows put up. There's no reason why we shouldn't have a Race and Reason show going in almost every city around the country that's got a cable system. So let's get at it. Get at it, boys and girls, and get us on there. Now, don't forget, don't send any more emails or orders to merchandise@resist.com. Send it to merchandiseresist@yahoo.com, because we're going to clean out all the emails. We had about 500 emails, a lot of spam in that particular email we're using. The original one we were using on the website, we're cleaning all that out. We're going to drop that one altogether. So if you don't save this address, you're going to have problems communicating with us. And if you got a problem, if there's something you see on a website that's not working right, well, communicate with merchandiseresist@yahoo.com, and the webmaster will check it out. Well, without further ado, we're going to bring Ghost Wolf Radio Man on here for another red-hot program from his lair over there, not too far from Chicago.
Stand by for words of truth. These words of truth should be manifested in all of your lives.
It's all we need now.
Gun. I mean, a golf gun. He's out of ammo.
How do you know that?
Because
would ever kill that last dog with no bullet, that's how. Hurry up. Mama, listen to me. Now listen. Now stay awake, all right? You gotta release that tourniquet every 15 minutes. We'll be right back. Gotta get him now. He's out of ammo. All right,
get him.
Hurry up.
Oh, you know that. You keep my babies. Get the son of a fish.
Go.
Go get him. The white man's out of ammo.
All right. All right, now listen up. Right on top of us. We're going to form a skirmish line, 50 feet apart. And keep moving. There's no way out of here except through us.
The white man's brain is open a match. What?
Hey. Mr. Martin. We ain't hunting him. He's hunting us.
Send the hunter. Send the destroyer.
Don't push it, I'll give you a war you won't believe. Who the hell are you?
Sam Troutman. Colonel Samuel Troutman.
Look, we're a little busy this morning, Colonel. What can I do for you?
I've come to get my boy.
Your boy?
I recruited him. I trained him. I commanded him in Vietnam for 3 years. I'd say that makes him mine.
I wonder why the Pentagon would send a full-bird colonel down here to handle us.
The Army thought I might be able to help.
Well, I don't know in what way. Rambo's a civilian now. He's my problem.
I don't think you understand. I didn't come here to rescue Rambo from you. I came here to rescue you from him.
I don't. Well, we all appreciate your concern, Colonel. I will try to be extra careful.
I'm just amazed that he allowed any of your posse to live.
Is that right?
Strictly speaking, he slipped up. You're lucky to be breathing.
That's just great. Colonel, you came out here to find out why one of your machines blew a gasket.
You don't seem to want to accept the fact that you're dealing with an expert in guerrilla warfare. But a man who's the best. With guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who's been trained to ignore pain. Ignore weather. To live off the land. To eat things and to make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Win by attrition. Well, Rambo was the best.
Now you got us all scared to death. What do you and the special forces think I ought to do about your psycho out there?
Let him go.
Do what?
For now. Defuse the whole situation. Defuse him. Provide a little gap and let him slip
you
through.
You can't defuse that.
Put out a nationwide APB. In a couple of weeks, you'll pick him up in Seattle or someplace working in a car wash. There'll be no fight and nobody else will get hurt.
I do my own work. I don't figure the best way to do that is to close my eyes and then hope he gets picked up in Seattle.
Well, if you send your people in there after him, they'll get killed.
You know, we're just a small hick town sheriff's department, Colonel, but we're expected to do our duty just like our heroes in the special forces.
In special forces, we teach our people to stay alive in the line of duty.
No shit. I never thought of that.
If you want a war, you can't win.
Are you telling me that 200 men against your boy is a no-win situation for us?
You send that many, don't forget one thing.
What?
A good supply of body bags.
Calling all white men. White men who were sick and tired of belonging to a race that has been typified lately of cowardice, pusillanimous actions. Calling all white men who are sick and tired of the status quo. Calling all white men who are sick and tired of transnational corporations and the corporate elite and the Jews and black, brown, and yellow. Sucking the marrow from our bones. Calling all white men who will stand in the ranks and belong to the underground international brotherhood of ghost wolves. You have to decide for yourself if this is for you. Look at your own specific situation in life. We need warriors. We don't need any more writers or talkers. We need warriors. Can you do it? Does your living situation afford you to do it? Does your health? Does your age? You don't need a whole lot of knowledge. You need some, but not an astronomical amount. What you need 90% of is balls and 10% knowledge. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio calling. This is Ghost Wolf Radio calling. Ghost Wolf Radio is brought to you by the Insurgency Radio Network at resist.com. All made possible by a true racial patriot, Tom Metzger. Tom can be reached at tm_Metzger@yahoo.com. You can also write him at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana 46581. Call the Aryan Update line at 574-267-5036. This is the beginning of tape 10, program 19, flip side of the program 20, entitled They Drew First Blood. Yeah, you know what, that may be a Hollywood movie, First Blood, but tell you what, one white man who's sick of it all can do some good things, as long as he's sick and tired of all the shit that he has been enduring. Working class white men were expendable, were replaceable to the system. Don't let it be so. Allow me to take this time to get you acquainted to, further get you acquainted to the terrorists, their weapons, leaders, and tactics by Christopher Dobson. Speaking of the Red Army faction and the Japanese Red Army, since thus only a few months after the Autumn of Terror launched by the West Germans and the Japanese, it was the new model Red Brigade, you know, the Red Brigade from Italy, the Red Brigades who marched to the center of the world terrorist stage, although the moral kidnapping and the murder of high officials was ostensibly planned to secure the release of the old leaders from prison, events showed that the new men of the movement were tougher and better organized than the original Robin Hoods. For weeks on end, they were able to throw the state into disarray. Here again, there's close similarity with the Bader-Meinhof gang in West Germany, where the same phenomenon was observed. Going on, probably the most important of the U.S. subversive groups was the Weathermen, Weathermen Underground. Dictated to provoking the authorities into repressive action that they believed would bring more support for terrorism. The name derived from a line in Bob Dylan's song, "You Don't Need a Weatherman to Know Which Way the Wind Blows." And for a while in 1969 and 1970, it began to look as though the wind might be blowing in their direction. Their aim for attracting attention was certainly fulfilled. The Weathermen came into being as a result of squabbles at the conference in June of 1969 of the Students for the Democratic Society. You know, I'd love to be like the Highlander. You guys seen that movie? And just go back to the year 1200 and just stay perpetually at the age of 30 years old. Just go throughout all the ages. And when I come up on the 1960s, I would do nothing but fucking slaughter 90% of the people that were doing all this bullshit. Jerry Rubin and Abby Hoffman, those other fucking Jews stirring up agitation, I would fucking chop them up with an axe. And I would do so many guerrilla fucking military actions down south that Rockwell would be like my Sinn Fein. He'll be my above ground government spokesman, you know, or government spokesman for the new white government down there while I'm ripping shit up. That's the shit I fantasize about. That's why they call me the psycho racist. Not a term of endearment. Originally a liberal and near-pacifist new left organization, many supporters visited Cuba and Vietnam and fired with enthusiasm for the revolutionary regimes in those countries. They began learning how to make Molotov cocktails for the onslaught on American society. They declared that unlike their counterparts in the Third World, they would make an anti-national revolution, for otherwise they might fall into the trap of imperialist national chauvinism. The familiar old cliches poured from their mouths of these student revolutionaries. They tried in vain to merge with the Black Panthers. They made arson raids, and it was claimed that the Weathermen took part in some 500 incidents of bombing and raiding in 1969. It says here that they planted a bomb at the University of Wisconsin, demanding that the Reserve Officer Training Corps, ROTC, be disbanded and that the Black Panther leaders under arrest be released. You know, I appreciate Tom's vision about, you know, recruiting from the left. We certainly can't recruit from the right. That fact has been solidified over and over again, but this is the type of people we have on the left, man. Fucking nigger lovers who are filled with just racial guilt. And it's always these upper middle class. And I'm getting deeper into this book, and it's like, you know, I've read across a section on, maybe I'll read it on this tape, maybe I won't, talking about the finances that are in support of terrorist organizations around the world, and they're all rich fucks. We are truly the poorest. The white separatist movement worldwide is the poorest anti-system group out there. It's not the Palestinians. They have all that fucking money from the oil, from the profits for petrol dollars, they call it. And Americans and Europeans spend all this money on gasoline, and a lot of that money is being pumped into Arab organizations who want to do nothing but destroy Western civilization, which is the result of 3,000 years of struggle. Absolutely, it's been subverted over the last some odd years, at least definitely the last 50 to 60 years, probably longer than that. Things were better, I guess, when the aristocracies were in charge. And it wasn't, he had problems with the Jew bankers, but they had to play more of a behind the scenes thing, I guess. Now they're like, they're more out in the open. Interesting. For a while, the height of public agitation about the war in Vietnam, the Weathermen had looked dangerous, but this highly personalized band of urban guerrillas was neither tough enough nor devoted enough to survive. The truth was that too many of its supporters were in it for kicks. There were guns and grass revolutionaries who enjoyed the excitement for a while, relished the lifestyle more than the politics, and took pleasure that they could. There's some French term here. It looks like something with the word bourgeoisie. Y paye la bourgeoisie, whatever the fuck that means. I guess it's French. When they spoke of people, it was obvious that they had never really been in touch with them and that they were simply working off their hang-ups. And that's exactly what all you sorry-ass 1960s liberals who are in their 60s now, and I hope... if you have not become racially aware and saw the error of your ways, and I hope you get fucking assaulted by gangs of niggers. The same niggers you marched with. The sons and daughters of the same niggers you marched with. Another offshoot of the Students for a Democratic Society was the Revolutionary Union, a Maoist group with more serious political appeal and more mature following. One of the founders was Professor H. Franklin of Stanford University. With him was Robert Avakian, a student expelled from Berkeley in 1966. Steve Hamilton, period, and Steve Hamilton. Financed from China by way of Hong Kong, Communist Infiltrated Union, the Revolutionary Union actually produced a manifesto, though it created less stir than the Weathermen. That's interesting. The Chinese, this is about the time where Nixon's, starting dialogues with the Chinese, maybe a little bit before that. But here they are working with a subversive group to subvert American society. And it's about the time when we're starting to reach out to them for capitalist means. We cannot trust these Asian fucking niggers. Okay? They may smile on our face. They may take on Anglo-Saxon first names. We don't want a damn thing to do with them. Incidentally, you guys hear about drywall that's being imported from China? They find out it's got toxic gases in it and it's making people sick. I think a couple people have died, actually. Fucking drywall from China. What, we got to put all our workers out of work for more profits? I'm telling you, man. I don't need to mince no words here. The financial elite in this country, well, you know what needs to happen to them. All right. From the Union developed yet another Maoist group called the Venceremos Organization, which had close ties with Cuba. The organization sent the brigade to Cuba in the early 1970s. Even more extreme group was the Symbionese Liberation Army, attracting much attention by its violent activities. It claimed to be a loving group devoted to drawing together oppressed minorities in the fascist United States. Yeah, you wish they were fascist. Not financially fascist. They don't give a damn about being racially fascist. If they're racially fascist, I wouldn't give a damn. It had a number of anarchist aims and was remarkable for the number of women it drew to the cause, because they attracted so few militants, not more than 40. The SLA turned to dramatic action to attract attention and publicity. And so I talk about the abduction of Patty Hearst. The end of the war in Vietnam deprived the small American terrorist movements of their mainspring. None of them was able to follow the lead of the international terrorist groups, though there is still a danger that race problems may provide new organizations with the necessary impetus for renewed action. Factions of Black Panthers or Black Muslims have been involved in violent quarrels with other Black Muslim groups. and one of them, the Hanafis, whatever they're called, I don't even want to try and pronounce their name, attacked three buildings in Washington, D.C. and tried to hold 100 hostages. Their leader, Caliph Hamas Abdul Qalis, and 10 others were sentenced to long terms of imprisonment. Okay, however, the main truly terrorist threat in the United States came from politically motivated white groups. Revolutionary organizations comparable to those that plagued Europe grew from the New Left movement. The Weathermen group, led by Mark Rudd,
where the fuck I leave off at? I hate when I do that shit. Mark Rudd advocated the creation of a white movement to support the blacks, a movement as fast as they can, or a movement as fast as they have to and are able to. Their theory was that alienated high school students were the potential revolutionary class in America in alliance with the third world peoples. What? I mean, where these people are fucking clueless. I hope every one of these people, Bill Ayers on the island, all of them, I hope all of them go to their grave severely, deep down in their fucking heart, regretting what they've done. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against them for their anti-corporate thing, anti-consumerism. That's fine. But their race thing is just way to fuck off. And that doesn't mean, don't get me wrong. You know, I've been, you know, talking this way for two tapes now. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to go to the right at all. You know, I see myself on the left, but only for the white working class. You know? It amazes me what these people are about. This was precisely the post-Marcusean philosophy. That was some German guy, I think, who wanted to adapt violent means politically. I think he was in the 60s. Philosophy spread by European university students and high school students in the Paris Youth Revolt of 1968. All right. We will still be who we are and what we believe. It's all about the British Angry Brigade. I know that people in this dock with me are working together for a happier, more peaceful world. You know, I'm not supposed to mark any books, but it's hard for me to read to you what I want to outline in this paragraph. It's just, I know I'm stumbling over shit and I'm sounding like a fucking fool and it's pissing me off. This curious English group had many things in common with the Beta Meinhof gang and with other international terrorist groups. Mendelssohn and a number of her friends were found guilty, and she was, Mendelssohn, that's this British broad, but Mendelssohn, that sounds Jewish to me. Had a number of her friends were found guilty and she was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment, though she was released in 1977 after serving only 4 years. Most members of the Angry Brigade, these were the British leftist supposed terrorist group, were students and graduates from British universities who shared with the continental opposite numbers, who shared with their continental opposite numbers, disappointed with the failure of the 1968 revolution in Paris. Both Anna Mendelssohn and John Barker, also sentenced to 10 years, were veterans of the days of elation at the Sorbonne, S-O-R-B-O-N-N-E. They returned to London determined to further the cause behind those banners which they had marched. Well, two groups in particular attracted some attention. Wait, let me go up here. Okay. Well, the Mendelssohn predicted those in prison have not changed is impossible to know. But since the trial, there have been no further manifestation of the Angry Brigade and any successor organization. So far as Great Britain is concerned, at the moment, the terrorist field is a monopoly of the Provisional Irish Republican Army. In the summer of 1978, there were modest signs of activity from right-wing terrorist groups in Britain. Letter bombs were sent to communist newspapers, Morning Star, and to the left-wing, into a left-wing bookshop. But these were minor incidents. Two groups in particular attracted some attention.
and both of them had a neo-Nazi flavor. Column 88, named in memory of Adolf Hitler, whose name began to talk about how they got 88. And the 11th Hour Brigade, an obscure and extremely small terrorist group, were both said to be plotting further action. Neither caused public or security forces any great concern. That's a damn shame. Too bad they didn't. It'd be great if they would have. Speaking of the Japanese Red Army, it says the Japanese seem to have been apt pupils. Red Army faction members from West Germany taking a similar crash course made a less favorable impression on their instructors. They were as interested in smoking pot and making love as in learning how to kill effectively. The Germans behave, according to one Arab, like a lot of tourists. Andreas Bader, you know, the Bader-Meinhof gang, the arrogant founding member of the gang, was called a coward because he refused to crawl beneath barbed wire while live bullets were fired over his head. Bader complained about this, saying that assault forces were not the right kind of training for urban guerrillas. Interesting. Deep down inside, they're really... I don't know. I'll keep my opinion to myself. I don't want to piss off anyone. You know, if we're going to be tracking people from the left, I'll just... Alright. What the recruits lack in this respect, they make up for in zeal and cruelty. Speaking, I guess, of the Red Army fucking gang. God damn it, I wish I could highlight this fucking shit. What the recruits lack in this respect, they made up for in zeal and cruelty. And the truth is that far less formal training was needed by terrorists than that given in highly professional style to such units as the British Special Air Service or West German Anti-Terror Squad, GSG-9, which rescued the passengers of a hijacked Lufthansa Boeing 737 at Mogadishu in Somalia. Interesting. I don't even know why I highlighted this. Western intelligence agencies believe that Prague has become the center of plastic surgery to change the appearance of known terrorists. Even without such expert attention, a terrorist can easily learn to change his appearance enough to fool security men who have only out-of-date identity photos. A mustache, a bottle of dye, and a slight gain or loss of weight is usually sufficient. Oh, that's right. You know, they say that you got a round face, and you're known for having a round face. Try to make your face look more oblong. That means maybe possibly getting a shorter haircut, like a high-end type, where there's more hair on top and on the sides of the head, and growing a goatee. They say that this tends to elongate the face. I wonder if that's true. Never had to resort to that yet. All right, the growing sophistication of terrorist training in Europe now under constant pressure from highly specialized security forces can be judged from an examination of a manual produced by the Red Brigades in Italy. Real quick, I'll come back to that. The passage that I read before that, it talked about that these terrorist groups, they don't need the level of training to be effective. They don't need to be, you know, like some badass British SAS guy or Army Delta Force to get the job done. Remember, it says in the number of books, the number one thing you need to do to become a guerrilla for whatever cause that you want to advocate, the number one thing you need to do is get in the best shape you can get in. Now, you're not going to try and reach a level of physical fitness, all right, now I'm in shape, now I can get going. You just need to get the program underway. If you've been working out regularly, body weight exercise and high repetition is what's good for guerrilla activity. I read a number of books about what these guys do for physical fitness, and none of them advocated weights. Big, bulky muscles require a lot of oxygen. Okay? I know you guys, and there's guys out there that get pissed off when I say this shit because you guys like the weights. Hey, you know what? Whatever works for you. Alright? Personally, for me, I think it's best if I keep a wiry frame, but try to get as strong as possible through internal resistance exercises like isometrics. I used to be bulky. I used to have, you know, 23-inch biceps at one time, like 20 years ago, and, you know, I never had the stamina to go deep into a training session when that required a lot of endurance. Remember, you may be in a situation where you need to run for your life. You've ran maybe 500 feet, all of a sudden, you got to fight for your life. You get through with that, you may need to run again, and then you may encounter two more adversaries that you need to deal with. Weight training will not prepare you for that. And if you, I know you guys don't like hearing that, you guys that got the big buff bods, you know, if you don't like that, then just disregard what I'm saying, and, you know, but do the best you can. I truly stress for you guys, body weight exercises and high repetitions. Best thing for you. Okay. You don't need to be knowledgeable in all things like a Navy SEAL to become a good gorilla. All you need, 10% knowledge, 90% balls. Okay. I'm talking about the Red Brigades in Italy. Its owners had failed to comply with its last instruction, which was, this book must not be left lying around. They're talking about their pamphlet, how they deal with certain guerrilla operations. And the police found it in a hastily abandoned terrorist hideout at 96 Via Grabolli, Rome, which I guess is an address. Security rules and work methods. This is the pamphlet that they found from the Red Army, or the Red Brigade of Italy, which is a leftist Italian terrorist group. The title of this loose-leaf pamphlet gives strict instructions on the comportment, never heard of that word, C-O-M-P-O-R-T-M-E-N-T, comportment of terrorist groups. It advises them that to avoid drawing attention to themselves, they should appear to be respectable, proud of their homes, and regularly employed, none of which are easy tasks for student killers. Apartments should be proletarian, modest, clean, neat, and completely furnished. From the outside, everything should appear to be normal, with curtains, entrance lights, and nameplates in place. Window boxes are recommended to help provide an extra touch of respectability. The Red Brigade's instructor warned his charges not to make noise at night and to do everything possible to reassure the neighbors. Care must be taken before renting an apartment to ensure that the landlord does not live on the premises. I could see that. Then the doors were to be fitted with burglar-proof locks. The pamphlet recommended great care in choosing a hideout to make certain that it was on the street where the police would find it difficult to keep watch from such traditional urban lookout places as bars, public buildings, and warehouses. I don't really know what he meant by that last part. All right, going on, it says, eventually they attracted attention during the great police search in Rome when a neighbor complained about a water leak in their apartment. I guess they lived in an upstairs apartment of terrorists, and maybe they left some water running and it was leaking through the floorboards or something. The terrorists left behind a good deal of compromising evidence in the shape of false license plates, wigs, unusual stationery stolen from police headquarters. Even more important were the documents they left that revealed a good deal about the efficiency of their organization, providing that the Moral Kidnapping, some guy named Moral Kidnapping had involved the complicated cooperation of nearly 60 people, including 12 terrorists involved in the attack on the politician and his five-man escort, all of whom were killed. The group left behind banknotes linking them to ransoms collected to other kidnappings. Records found with the training manual show that the group had spent $20,000 on firearms, again demonstrating that terrorist operations are costly. An interesting example of learn-as-you-go terrorism was provided by Ulrike Meinhof. That's a chick, by the way. Until she took part in the Berlin operation to free Andreas Bader. She had no experience with violent crime. While she was on the run, she watched with interest as another member of the gang. I talked about how she watched how another member of the gang hot-wired a car, and how she did some breaking and entering techniques, stuff like that. Okay, the next task was to acquire weapons. Ulrike and her friends went to Frankfurt and used stolen money, bought 20 three 9mm Firebird automatics from an Al Fatah man. I mean, they bought them from some Arab terrorists in Europe. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like these. I'm telling you, I'm becoming more and more convinced that our race must be fucking programmed to destroy itself. I mean, here Europe's being flooded with these goddamn shitskins who believe in this dog-ass religion of theirs and who want to forcibly convert the whole world to their bullshit. Death to all Semitic religion, as far as I'm concerned. But here they are dealing with them. They had to pay 450 Deutschmarks per weapon, about three times the going rate at the time. Well, look at that. The Arab guy made a profit off of them. The weapons were then issued to friends in an apartment belonging to a German journalist who they went out to practice with them. A practice range was chosen in the woods near Frankfurt Airport. I wasn't stationed too far from there. So that the noise of the jets would drown the noise of the shooting. It is in such ways that expertise in subversive warfare can be gained by the young terrorists. They're usually intelligent people matching their skills against those of the authorities. But in most cases, the training of terrorists has become so formalized that regular courses were taught with a final examination. Interesting. Anyone wishing to join the Montoneros in Argentina, which is another red terrorist group, for example, must first undergo a two-month indoctrination course during which the romantics and incompetents were weeded out. That was smart. The course breaks down old loyalties and replaces them with a new set of values. Family loyalty is first to be attacked because it is the most basic of the old ties and the most difficult to eradicate. At the end of the course, the aspirant, meaning the applicant, takes a written examination that emphasizes the reunification. A sample question is, what action would you take if your mother was in the hands of the enemy? Required answer, none. After written examination, there is a practical test in weaponry and explosives. Then comes the big moment. The final examination is simple. The candidate must shoot a soldier or a policeman. This explains why so many Argentinian policemen are gunned down as they leave their houses. They are easy marks for student terrorists passing final examinations.
Here's something in the money chapter called Money, the Budget of Death. Money is the fuel of terrorism. The belief that the use of terror is the poor man's method of waging war is no longer valid. The Palestinian, Latin American, and West German groups that seek to destroy the bourgeoisie way of life enjoy lifestyles equal to those of the richest sections of the affluent society. It's fucking amazing. What's their beef then? Is it guilt? I mean, if they won't go on a warpath against their own kind because they're guilty? It's got to be guilt. It's the only thing I can think of. Even terrorists who proclaim the purity of their motives are susceptible to the rustle of banknotes. Carlos, talked about him before. I don't remember what he was. He could have been French, Latin American, but he had connections with the Palestinian organizations and European red terrorist groups, all kinds of stuff. Carlos, the celebrated anti-bourgeoisie, is no slouch when it comes to enjoying the good life in the best restaurants on his expense account. And he has made a fortune from his post as chief overseas assassin for the Palestinians. It is one of the ironies of the modern world that the West, with its dependence on Arab oil, provides some of the wealth that is passed on to people dedicated to destroying the fabric of Western society. Yeah, that is very interesting. In other parts of the world, terrorists have to work harder to make their money. A good example of self-financing is provided by the ERP, the Ejercicio Revolucionario del Pueblo, People's Revolutionary Army of Argentina, who, although formed as an armed wing of a Trotskyist revolutionary party, might well be described as the capitalist of terror. Okay. In the early 70s, the amount of money demanded by the ERP continually escalated. $2 million for Charles Lockwood, a British executive of Acro Steel. I guess it's pronounced.
$3 million for John R. Thompson, the American president of Firestone Tires, Argentinian subsidiary, until eventually it reached the then record of $14.2 million for Victor Samuelson, an Exxon executive. Talking about kidnappings here, high-priced kidnappings. After Samuelson had been held for almost 5 months, the company agreed to terrorist terms, but the revolutionaries then kept the victim for another 49 days to give them time to launder the money. I guess that's why I outlined it, because I guess, you know, they didn't let the guy go until they made sure that the banknotes that they got were, you know, good. There was never any shortage of comfortable apartments in which the terrorists could hide. Cars and equipment were easy to acquire in an affluent Western country. Even though Andres Bader liked his comforts and Ulrike Meinhof complained when she had to live in an unheated building, money was never a problem for these middle-class terrorists. Meinhof had money of her own, and many of the young female terrorists were able to get funds from their prosperous parents. Shit makes me want to just... whatever. I better stop and make people nervous, you know, when I get overly pissed off about shit. One of the terrorists declared that he had lost his traveler's checks and claimed the insurance on them in the Middle East. After he had collected the money, he flew back to Europe and cashed the original traveler's checks, a cheap little trick, but then all things are permissible as long as they serve the cause. That's right. You know, I don't like the world view, but I like the fact of being a law unto yourself, because we serve a higher purpose. And if that's all I have for The Terrorist by Christopher Dobson, and I have a whole lot of tape left, but I don't care. It amazes me. It amazes me to how, out of all these groups, all these anti-system groups, and when I compare them to our cause and our struggle, ours is by far the most noble. Now, one of these groups cares about the survival of a certain subspecies. Well, you could make the argument that they care about the third world subspecies. You know, let me say it again. The third world is in the shape they're in, not because of Western exploitation, but because of their own inability to build and sustain an advanced civilization. You can't argue against that. I mean, the white man hundreds of years ago had it hard, had to build his home out of natural things, you know, trees and mud for mortar and thatched roofs, all kinds of stuff. We evolved out of that and climbed higher technologically. No one wants to acknowledge that the different races had a different evolutionary path, and because of that different evolutionary path, certain subspecies of the human species were able to do very impressive things intellectually, cognitively. But all these fucking groups, no matter what they are, Palestinian, I mean, there'll always be Palestinian people. They're outbreeding the Jews in that area. It's not like they're going to be exterminated, but I can understand them wanting their own homeland or wanting their homeland back. But there's no real threat of Palestinians being gone from the face of the earth in 125 years. It's not going to happen. There's no threat of that. Remember, they're one of them brown-skinned people that, you know, that the men of that race want to prove that they're real men by having a lot of babies. How primitive is that? You know? White man wants to prove himself by, you know, passing a test on electrical engineering or, you know, chemistry or mechanical engineering or whatever. But black and brown, they want to prove they're real men by how many babies they have or how many women they have sex with. And the fact that the white politicians on Capitol Hill, who are smart guys, they're not stupid, they know what's going on. The fact that they will go along with this program means that they need to reap the whirlwind. They need to experience wrath with a capital W. These freaking groups, man. Bader Meinhof, the Red Army, Japanese Red Army, the Red Brigade, Palestinian organizations, even the IRA. You know? Any of you guys out there in the radio club are loyal to the IRA. I'm not knocking you, but the Irish people, well, from our point of view, they will disappear if we don't do something. But for the Irish Republican Army, their deal is not about race. You know, their deal, I think, is more about religion, if I'm not mistaken. Either they're anti-Catholic or anti-Protestant. You know, I don't even know. All I know is it's whites killing whites. I don't like to see white Irish killing white British soldiers, and vice versa. We're already a minority race. And I read that these majority of these soldiers dying in Iraq are white. I hope somehow that this blows up in the system space, that a good majority of these guys come back hardened killers, and they help us out somehow. And maybe they'll come across some radio program on Ghost Wolf and say, hey, you gotta go solo. Too many rats in the white separatist organization. Too many rats who have been taught to say the right things, who may even have racial tattoos. Back at you guys. I don't know. I think maybe that membership organization is going down, but I guess when Obama was elected, they went up. You know, I mean, we are the most poverty-stricken movement in the world. I mean, the Basque of Spain, I guess they want their own territorial imperative or whatever. They don't seem to have a lot of support. But once again, I don't believe that their movement's based on race. They say the Basque language can't be traced to anything else in Europe. That it's like its own thing. I don't know how true that is, but I find that very interesting. But the Basque are white. You know? And maybe in their mind, maybe they are fighting for a biological entity. But the Basque can be absorbed into the Spanish population, they'll still be there. They'll be called something else. You know? There's no more Hittites on the planet anymore. But I'm sure their offspring lives in some of us who are still white. The Hittites hail from what is now modern-day Turkey. You know, and they fought Abraham and his Jews and all this other shit, but for a long time, they didn't even know that they existed. They started digging up their pottery and their artifacts in the early 1900s. Now we got all kinds of written history about the Hittites and the names of their kings and their dynasties and whatever. But there's no more Hittites. There's no more people on the earth who call themselves Hittites. You know, Anglo-Saxon is used as a term of to describe white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. I mean, you hear that term. You might hear, Anglo-American relations are great, meaning British and American relations. You know, you may hear that, but there's nobody out there calling themselves Saxons and Angles and Teutons and Franks and Gauls. The race is still here of those people, but that identity is gone. So it really doesn't concern me that possibly 200 years from now, white people living on this continent won't call themselves Americans. That does not concern me. Because the identity of being an American involves all kinds of bullshit. You know? It's summed up in our Jew-infested culture. Michael Jackson, Shaquille O'Neal, Beyonce, Jay-Z. That's all American now. When these people go to countries in Europe, when they go to Sweden, you know what they call these black people? They call them Americans. We need not be wrapped up about around what our title is. People in the British Isles now used to call themselves Saxons, East Saxons, West Saxons, South Saxons. They used to call themselves Picts, Celts, Britons. I believe that term is still out there, but Normans. The Norman invasion of 1066, William the Conqueror. There's no people out there calling themselves Normans, which is a derivative of Northmen. The ancestors of the Normans were Vikings. You know? So were people out there calling themselves Vikings. I mean, absolutely we should study these people. They could become good archetypes for us to tap into our racial soul when we had warrior societies out there. That's great. We shouldn't get bent up around the title. And these groups, a lot of these fucking groups, they want to get pissed off about, I don't know, they're pissed off about their own riches or something. I don't understand it. I think I told you guys on one show one time where I had this sister who worked real hard to get where she's at in a certain insurance field. Real hard. In order for her to become a licensed insurance agent, she was basically required to pass one written test a year. And studying for that one test took, I mean, there's an astronomical amount of reading and studying you've got to do just for one test. She did 10 in 1 year. And the company that she works for is just blown away by her because she works hard for what she's got. She's got a nice house in the suburbs. She had her own home built. She worked hard for those things. And for her to say last summer to me that she feels guilty about the things she has because when she looks at poor black people and what they got, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my sister, love her to death, but what do you expect for a white person who works anywhere from 8 to 14 hours a day, and whatever they watch on TV, it's stuff like Lost, Desperate Housewives, Grey's Anatomy, all this other bullshit primetime TV that has absolutely no inkling of truth rooted in reality. Not one bit. I can't even stop. I tried watching Lost one time. I think it was the first episode ever. I watched like maybe the first 10 minutes of it. I just got bored with it. I didn't really thought it was an interesting thing, you know, a bunch of people stranded on a desert island. Thought it was going to be something like a Lord of the Flies type of thing, but, you know, with adults this time, you know, or something like that. I don't know. Maybe it's my psycho-racist fucking black heart that wanted to see something that was never going to present itself. I don't know. But I bore real quick with shit like that because, and you do too, Radio Club listeners. I know you guys don't get into that shit. If you do, shame on you. I mean, you know what my guilty pleasure is? I'm going to tell you. My guilty pleasure is watching Breaking Bad on Sunday nights on AMC. Because it's an interesting concept. Here's a guy who's a chemistry teacher in high school. He's been a good guy all his life. All of a sudden he finds out he's got inoperable lung cancer. He decides to start breaking some rules. Decides to start, you know, living a little bit of might is right. Hooks up with this kid. Starts cooking crystal meth. Now, I don't condone cooking crystal meth, but I relate to this guy, even though I'm nowhere near as smart as is what his character is purporting to be on the show. I don't know nothing about chemistry, but I have reached a point in my life where it just doesn't make sense for me to be the good all-American citizen anymore. I think if I was to die as being labeled with some name of anathema given to me, I think I could say I've accomplished something. To be hated by the masses of sheep is a good thing, because you don't want to be with them. Here we are, resist.com, a microscopic percentage of the white separatist movement, shouting from the fucking rooftops, not really for the white race, because we can't compete with the Jewish technical power of indoctrination through television, school, and everything else. The written word, what we hear on the radio, what we see on TV, what we see in the movie theater, all of that is Jewish control. We can't compete with that. So if you try to debate with white people, you try to win them over, they're not going to listen. They need to get their ass kicked in order for them to listen. Okay? We got to have something that's going to unplug the TVs. We got to have something that's going to create a situation where when they open the refrigerator, the light don't come on because there's no electricity. And now they got to worry about their food spoiling. Well, if it's the dead of winter, you can hide it outside on a second story porch or something. Keep it frozen. But if it's summertime, you better find a way to smoke all that meat. We want to create a situation where they walk outside their front door at night and it's pitch black because there's no electricity. You know? And you white separatists, you white werewolves who believe in 14 words that we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children, you're preparing for an inevitability that may become inevitable. So, the point of this fucking show, I guess, is that look at out of all the anti-system groups that have ever come around, the white separatist group, the movement as a whole, is the most poverty stricken out of all of them. All these fucking leftists, they came from money, and they want to pour that money into bullshit to help out black and brown. If you want to be anti-system, fine, but to do it and trying to become brothers with brown and black, tell you what, leftists, if you're out there and you couldn't get a hold of this, you know, love to have you aboard, but I'm thinking we're not going to get too many of you guys. That we Ghost Wolves and we people of Resist.com got to start our own leftist movement. Leftist as in we believe in the survival of the white working class. I don't mean to rain on your parade, Tom, and no disrespect at all, but I just don't think we're going to get those people. It'd be great if we got a couple of them, then maybe it'd be worth it. So if all's fair in love and war, then anything goes. And it behooves us to build this underground ghost wolf brotherhood where it can't be infiltrated or spied upon because no one knows any of the members. Not even Tom would know the members. You can think of it as in like they drew first blood. If blacks were really so fucking mistreated, they should have formed their own nation, but they didn't. They wanted to leech off the white man even more. No mercy should be shown them, and none given. We need to be ruthless. We need to become wolves in human shape. I hope that's getting through to some of you out there. 14.
Oh, 'cause there's a repo man to dodge. I slip out the back door. Lord, I never thought I'd live to see this day. We're gonna need that truck when they come to take the house away. I pay my bills. There's a lot of us that feel like we've been left stranded here.